Hello, this is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Baltimore on Q1370 WQLL. Catholic Baltimore is a weekly radio program hosted by the Archdiocese of Baltimore, airing each Sunday following the broadcast of the Radio Mass of Baltimore. We are grateful to our Catholic radio partners for sharing with us some of the contents in this program and for the opportunity to bring quality Catholic programming to the Archdiocese of Baltimore every Sunday.
This is Sean Kane, and you're listening to Catholic Baltimore. We're here today with Christopher Gunty. He is editor and associate publisher of the Catholic Review. Chris, thanks for being with us.
Glad to be here.
So we've got some changes afoot for the Review. Give us a little bit of a rundown on what those are and why they're happening.
We've got some exciting things happening. We are changing from a newspaper to a magazine. The last issue of the newspaper will come out October 29th, and the first issue of the magazine should be in homes right before Thanksgiving. It'll be mailed to 170,000 or so Catholic registered households in the Archdiocese. We're going to be enhancing what we do on the web and our social media. We're on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and Periscope and Pinterest and whatever else they create these days.
We should be clear, the Review isn't ending. It's really kind of beginning a new chapter.
It is, absolutely. We're trying to just keep on top of where people are reading and how they're consuming news and information. And we want to be wherever that is. So that's why we've come up with the plan to be on whatever platform people have in their pocket or on their coffee table at home. That's where we want to be.
Right. So it really is just a reflection of the way people have changed how they consume information and news, and Catholic news is no different.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So let's go through some of the platforms and the changes. So from beginning with the newspaper, right now Catholics get the newspaper every 2 weeks mailed to their home. They're going to get a great magazine format once a month. So it'll be less the what and more the why?
Correct. Instead of what happened last week, it'll be why did that happen and how does that affect my life as a Catholic? And we're going to be having national and local columnists to talk about inspiring, uplifting things in a ways that just help people live their lives better as Catholic and help us tell the stories in better ways. There's a little bit of a freedom in a magazine that you can write a little bit longer. In the newspaper, we're pretty much constrained to a 300 to 600-word story, add some photos, and that's about it. With a magazine, you can stretch a little bit more, and you can tell the story in a different way. We'll still tell those news stories. Those will be on the web. They'll be online, you know, shortly after the event happens. We won't wait until the print edition comes out to get that information up and out there. So we're trying to find ways to just tell the same stories of the life in the Archdiocese in different and more exciting ways.
And the newspaper will literally be an everyday newspaper in a sense. It's just going to live online.
Absolutely. And you'll find out what's going on online if you make sure that you're subscribing to our e-newsletter, which will come out a few times a week, let you know what's happening, what's important. Also, if you follow us on Facebook or Twitter or any of those things, you'll see what's happening. So you'll get notification that way. And we'll be pushing information into a new app that's out there, and there'll be a news feed there.
And we should mention that right now, if you subscribe to the digital edition of the paper, there is a subscription fee for that, but there isn't going forward, isn't that right?
Correct. We're going to open up the digital edition for anybody who wants to see it, so that, again, that's one more way that we can use that. We're hoping to partner with our Catholic schools that have iPod or tablet programs in the schools and preload that right on there so that they can use that in the classroom.
That's great. And we should also mention that as you reference, people can get the email newsletter, we're calling it, but it's basically an email that'll arrive a few times a week in their inbox, and it'll have the Catholic news of the day.
Exactly. Message from the Archbishop, some words from the Pope. Our Pope is eloquent and has something new to tell us every day in his homilies. So we're going to try to bring that to your mailbox so you know what's going on.
One of the exciting aspects of this kind of reconfiguration, if you will, that I think is great is the fact that parishes are going to be given a couple of really interesting tools. Can you talk about those?
We are. We're adding a tool called Flocknote, which is basically an email and text tool. If you're familiar with the kinds of newsletters you get every day from stores and businesses that come from MailChimp or Constant Contact, Flocknote's a similar tool, but it was designed by and for people in Catholic ministry. And so it can better delineate that by being able to group into separate ministries, like a separate group for youth ministry or catechists or school parents, any of those kinds of things. So parishes will be able to communicate a little bit more effectively. Also, they have a text tool available to them, which allows the parish to really get the word out about urgent matters that need to be done. Anything from church cancellation because of snow or, school has to get out early because we've got a storm coming through.
Days of obligation reminder. We always forget those.
Absolutely. The example that I've been using a lot is that the parish will announce on Sunday, there's a holy day of obligation this week. Don't forget to come Thursday. And you have great intentions of doing that. We all have great intentions of being there for Mass on the holy day. And then things happen during the week. You've got soccer practice or work runs late or, you're trying to run to the grocery store. And if the parish can send out a reminder on Wednesday that says, don't forget, our vigil Mass is tonight at 7:30, Mass is tomorrow at 8 and noon, they'll tend to double their attendance at those kinds of things. And that's a great tool for a parish to use. We're also putting an app in the hands of every parish through a company called My Parish App. And that will be the similar kind of tool. Great things in there. The readings of the day from the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. So the epistle and gospel and psalm from that day's readings. Connections to the Catholic prayers, common ones that we use all the time.
Talk about the confessional, experience, well, which I think
really
is very cool.
It's a great thing because, again, we all have a great intent to get to the Sacrament of Reconciliation a lot more often, especially as we approach the Year of Mercy and we try to understand how great and merciful our God is. And one of those ways we get that mercy is through the Sacrament of Confession. Well, you can actually set up in the app and say, I want to go to confession every 3 weeks. And it'll come up with a reminder to tell you to do that. And then it'll take you right to an examination of conscience within the app. So you can kind of go through and say, oh, yeah, I did that. I did that. I need to work on this. And it's a great way for you to tie in whatever's in your pocket to your faith life.
And give you the act of contrition and anything else that you might need.
Absolutely. And the great thing is that it's right there in your hand.
Yeah. And as you mentioned, Your Mercy's coming up. Folks in Baltimore are familiar with The Light Is On, the confessional program, which will continue again in Lent. So this tool is coming right at the right time. And I think, it's reflective of just about every other aspect of our daily lives where technology is there to enhance whatever experience we're having and just make life a little bit easier.
Exactly. And a lot of people, though, still like to read something in print. So that's why we're retaining print. We're still going to have the magazine. It's going to be delivered 8 times a year to the parishes so people can pick it up at Mass. And 4 times a year, we're going to send it right to their mailbox.
And for those people who want to still have it delivered,
we've got an arrangement for that.
They can call the Catholic Review, and then we'll take care of that if they don't want to pick it up at Mass.
Yeah.
We live in a 24-hour news cycle, and you've certainly been in the business long enough. What are your observations about the changes in the news industry and the Catholic news industry?
Well, I've been privileged to work in places that have been kind of on the edge. I've always looked at ways to do things a little differently. When the first newsroom I started in, we typed our stories on typewriters, handed them off to somebody who would put them into the composing machine. Eventually, we moved to adding our own computers at every person's desk. The internet came along. We started using that in ways, started using email to communicate. But I remember bringing what they called a TRS-80, the old Radio Shack laptop, with me on a story when I was doing stories in Poland when I was working in Chicago. That has changed now. There's more computing power in the phone I hold in my hand, probably 100 times the computing power than what it was in that device that I brought with me and weighed several pounds and took all the way overseas. But the fact is, we're still telling stories. We're still telling stories of people's faith in ways that just can't be done by folks in the secular media. We're specialists at this. This is what we do all the time. We cover Catholic news, news that affects Catholics. And that's why that part hasn't changed. We're just changing the way we distribute it.
And you touch on a really important point, which is Catholics, if they want to be engaged and they want to take part in a conversation about the church, they really have no other outlet to do that except through their local Catholic media.
They really don't. There's certainly news coverage on our local secular media, and they do a pretty good job of that, but it's not what they do all the time. They've got more people dedicated to sports than they do to religion. And so we're trying to balance that out and say, this is important. This is what we need to do.
So if somebody wants to learn more about these changes that are coming up, I know you've got a web page that's there. It's got all the information.
We do. It's aobmoreconnected.org. Right now, that page is mainly designed for our parishes to get information about how to get involved and get connected to this. But within a few days, there will be a segment there for the parishioners to get more information as well.
And has there a date been set up when they're going to hear about this in church?
We're launching our first Get Connected weekend in some parishes, November 14th and 15th. There will be more Get Connected weekends as parishes sign up and get ready to do that. Probably be one in mid-December and mid-January.
So stay tuned for that announcement in your parish bulletin and from the pulpit. Chris Gunty from the Catholic Review, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you. Catholic news from the Archdiocese of Baltimore and around the world from the Catholic Review. November 2nd is All Souls Day, the day the Catholic Review remembers some of the faithful lay people who died during the previous year. One of them was Patricia Murphy. She was orphaned at age 3 and grew up at St. Vincent's Infant Asylum, now Catholic Charities St. Vincent Center, and the House of the Good Shepherd, now known as Good Shepherd Services. As an adult, she moved to Dunmore in Catonsville, a neighborhood that adopted her as she helped its residents care for their children and pets. Read more about Murphy, who died March 18th at the age of 92, and others in a special Names and Numbers feature in the October 29th edition of the Catholic Review. In a Mass at the Vatican October 18th, Pope Francis called on people to replace their thirst for power with the joy of quiet and humble service, as he proclaimed 4 new saints, including the parents of St. Therese of Lisieux. The Pope said the new saints, Spanish religious woman, an Italian priest, and the first married couple with children to be canonized together, unfailingly served their brothers and sisters with outstanding humility and charity in imitation of the Divine Master. The married couple was Louis Martin and Marie Zélie Guérin Martin, the French parents of St. Therese of Lisieux. They had 9 children, 4 of whom died in infancy. The other 5 entered religious life. During their 19-year marriage in the 1800s, the couple was known to attend Mass daily, pray and fast, respect the Sabbath, visit the elderly and the sick, and welcome the poor into their home. From the newsroom of the Catholic Review, this is Christopher Gunty.
Do you want to know more about what's going on in the church and the world than you can get from your daily newspaper or local TV? Read the only newspaper in the Archdiocese of Baltimore that covers the church full-time, the Catholic Review. The print newspaper can be delivered to your home every other Thursday, and you can get fresh news every day online at catholicreview.org. Subscribe to the Catholic Review e-newsletter for twice-a-week updates. Find our app on Apple and Android, and follow the Catholic Review on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest. Wherever your faith takes you, Catholic Review Media is ready to inspire, teach, inform, and engage. Read it today, in print and online, at catholicreview.org. Again, online, that's catholicreview.org.
You are listening to Catholic Baltimore on Q1370 WQLL.
This is Sean Kane, and you're listening to Catholic Baltimore. We are here today with Betty Contino from the Women's Education Alliance. Betty, thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you, Sean.
So tell us a little bit about the Alliance and what work it does here in the Archdiocese.
Well, the Alliance started with Mary Catherine Bunting, who put up $300,000 challenge grant, which was matched, and she did that because she wanted to excite women about philanthropic situations, and also educating children. That were her two big points. And so we launched into that, the Archdiocese did, and we find that we're women who want to make a difference in children's lives. So, and there's a lot of ways to do it. We've been developing, a myriad of ways to get them involved.
And obviously, the most effective way or the most direct path is through education.
Absolutely. It's our number one priority. We have two forms of scholarships. We have obviously one-time gifts. And then we have a five-year program called Scholarship Preservation, where people commit to doing the same amount for 5 years. So it provides continuity of the education, and parents are relieved of a lot of stress, wondering if their child's getting in.
That's right. So we're obviously talking about Catholic school scholarships and how
yes.
how do families go about the process of applying for these?
They have the schools, and actually the Archdiocese has a program, a standard, a qualification that they meet. Actually, each parent has to come up with a certain amount of the tuition themselves. So it's a collaborative effort.
So it's not a
effort.
Free ride. There are no free rides, right?
No, free ride. Yeah. I think the investment is good, and they're very anxious to get the children because of the benefits of being in a Catholic school.
And we should say, only because they've already been on this show earlier, we had Matt Anthony and Tom Kurowski speaking about the Partners in Excellence program. So maybe just touch on the relationship there briefly.
Right. Well, actually, it was a part of the Partners in Excellence. They typically, I think, are pushing towards corporations and foundations, but we are all about women. So there was no component for women, and I think that's where Mary Catherine really set her goal. And we were doing pretty good because we have about over 400 people on our mailing list.
Wow.
Women.
That's
well, we let men infiltrate, though. We don't mind.
We're good for a few things.
Absolutely.
So you touched on the scholarship assistance, but you do more than just that. There's a true investment in a partnership between the women in Women's Education Alliance and the schools they serve. Can you touch a little bit about on the kind of the non-financial support that you provide?
It's very important to us because we wanted to have an avenue for all women to find an interest, you know, so the more opportunities we can put out there. We, aside from doing what you might call standard fare, Teacher Appreciation Day, summer reading programs, back to school supplies. Well, we touch now on technology. We have a full technology program to get the schools to a certain minimum standard. And we're now into the bells and whistles, the shiny objects in the room. So it's coming along, and it's really terrific. Plus, teaching and helping the staff, the teachers, to be current about what children almost know more in technology today, don't they? But we also branched out into playgrounds. So we have started with basketball courts at Holy Angels, and then we branched into a basketball court and a full playground at Cardinal Sheehan. That was in May, and then we are dedicating only on October 20th the one at Archbishop Borders, a full playground and an outdoor classroom. So we're very excited about this.
And the Borders School is in the Highlandtown area. These are for what the Archdiocese refers to as community schools, and those are the primary areas of focus for the Alliance. Can you talk a little bit about what community schools are?
Yeah, they're really archdiocese and urban schools, and they serve students from the really economically disadvantaged neighborhoods. Community refers to provisions of educational as well as other services through partnerships with health and counseling services, universities, and foundations, and an organization such as ours, we, yeah.
Mm-hmm. How important are these schools to the children they serve? You've been in the schools mm-hmm. yourselves. You've heard from other women who have gone into the schools, and I'm sure they, once you go in, you're kind of hooked, I think. So what have you observed?
Well, they really are transformational. That's why I think that the community schools also, they bring in the community. You know, it becomes very personal. I don't know a principal or a teacher who doesn't know about every student and their family. I mean, it's a very involved group. But they've chosen Catholic schools, even though they're typically not Catholic, mm-hmm. okay, because they know it's an opportunity that will make a difference. We call it a transformational, a game changer, because they not only provide great academics, they provide cultural, social, physical, and most important, spiritual.
Are there any stories or families or children who've particularly left an impression on you?
Well, it's interesting you would say it. On a very personal note, we had a student. He's on our website, too. His name is Chris Lewis. And in that website, he showed how he wanted so much to go to Calvert Hall. Well, the parents went to Calvert Hall. They said they really needed almost all the money for it, and of course they were said they were turned down. They didn't really understand how you have to go about and have a collaborative effort. And my husband got involved. He's a Calvert Hall alum. And before long, the whole thing was worked out. I mean, it was just great. Chris is there. We've gone to see him there. He's head of everything. Mm-hmm. He's thoroughly enjoying himself. One thing I really see about our children is how they apply. I don't worry about a single one of them in terms of being on the wrong street and in the wrong place. Mm-hmm. They're just absorbed in getting their education and having the life that God intended for them.
And it's a great great transition often where we're able to really save these children at the elementary level where they go through these community schools and then can get to a Calvert Hall or a Loyola or to any of the number of great Catholic high schools in the area, and then they take them from there, you watch them take off.
You know, that's one of the merits of being one of the five-year donors. Truly, once you help a child, and it's all based on if God is good to you, you can do it. There's no legal commitment here. Those children then have that person in their life. We have them get together during the year. And once they move into high school, believe me, Fran and I will tell you that we put many through college.
Yeah, that's so amazing.
That's what happens.
How'd you get involved?
Well, I'm a thickhead. I worked with a homeless for about 12 years, and it was another archdiocese. It was a Catholic Charities program. Mm-hmm. And it went from homeless to home ownership. It was a great program, but it's tough. Until God finally kept saying to me, Betty, if you get the children, if you get them at a young age and they have these difficult situations in their life, tough environments.
They'll never be homeless.
Truly, they'll never be homeless, right. And that's what's happening here.
So it's all about that early intervention.
It's about, right. I think even now we try to get people to sponsor children below pre-K. I mean, pre-K and 1-2 grades.
You can't start too early.
No.
So you mentioned the playground dedication, but you also have another event that's coming up.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, we do. We have our fourth, can't believe it, our fourth annual fall luncheon, and we have about 350 people who attend. It's at Cardinal Sheehan on October 27th, 12 noon. To 1:30 sharp, great lunch, our world-famous Cardinal Sheehan Children's Choir. We're going to have other entertainment by children. We have a great guest speaker always this year, Dr. Lorraine Ozar from the University, Loyola University in Chicago. She's going to talk about the effectiveness of Catholic education. So it's a bang-up time. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody has a thoroughly good time.
And when you're talking to women about the Alliance and what do you say to them to get them involved?
I always tell them that for me, I get so absorbed, I forget what I'm actually doing. I'm having such a good time. It's such a win-win proposition. You might go in and think you're helping others. Let me tell you, you're helping yourself. Mm-hmm. It feels great at the end of the day to know you can make a difference in a child's life.
Especially when you've seen it firsthand. You're a witness to it. So
I'm a total witness to it. Having seen homeless and worked with homeless for that length of time, we don't want anybody to go there.
You know what you're saving them from.
Right.
So if someone wants to learn more about the luncheon or just about the Alliance and maybe you want to come visit a school or meet with somebody like yourself, how do they go about that?
Oh, it's really simple. Always, you can email or call me. I can give you my – I'm happy to always give that information out. But we have a great website. We have a website, www.webalt.org.
And that's W-E-A-Balt, B-A-L-T, .org.
Yeah, and you know what? Or is it .com? I can't even remember these things myself. But anyway, www.webalt.org. It's okay. Org. Sorry about that. Yes, the website, it'll tell you how to get involved, volunteer, committees, school scholarships, school support, just many, many ways to do that. And I'm happy to talk to anybody at any time.
That's great. The Women's Education Alliance, Betty Cantina, we're so grateful for what you do for the children in Baltimore and for being here with us today.
Well, thank you so much. I always like the opportunity to talk about what we do.
Great. Thank you.
The season of sacraments is nearly here. First Holy Communion, Confirmation, and Weddings. Visit the Baltimore Basilica, America's first cathedral, and stop by the gift shop for all of your gift needs. From beautiful frames to crucifixes and crosses, statues, and one-of-a-kind rosaries, The Basilica Gift Shop has it all. Friendly, knowledgeable staff members can help you select the perfect gift. Also available, Baltimore's very own Mouth Party Caramels, locally designed hand-painted signs and jewelry, plus gifts for Easter as well as an extensive line of St. Patrick's Day items sure to bring out the Irish in everyone. Visit the Basilica Gift Shop at 409 Cathedral Street in Baltimore or call 410-727-3565 for hours and directions. Free street parking available directly in front of the Basilica between 9:30 and 4 p.m.
Now more than ever, the world needs what Catholic schools have to offer, where the soul is nourished, potential is realized, and lasting friendships and experiences shape who we will become. Come see for yourself the difference a Catholic school education makes in the hearts and minds of our students. You're invited to attend a Catholic high school open house, shadow day, or personal tour, and witness how every student is valued, learning is celebrated, and faith is strengthened, all in an environment that provides the rigorous, advanced education our children need to succeed in the 21st century. For a complete listing of Catholic high school admission events, including registration for the upcoming high school placement test, please check out www.archbault.org or call 1-800-5-CATHOLIC. That's 1-800-5-CATHOLIC. Archdiocese of Baltimore Catholic Schools. Rise above.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Catholic Baltimore. As we prepare for the week ahead, let us do so in prayer together as one community of faith. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us also ask the blessing and intercession of our Blessed Mother as we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May God bless us and keep us always in his love.